From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Monday the 8th is the actual date for International Women's Day, but many of us will be off work or making breakfast in bed for our wives and partners. So we're marking it today with a huge transformation in the workplace and the economy that women have made over the past few decades. And we've already been introduced to the lovely Kate English from Deloitte, but also joining us is Mary Considine, Chief Executive of Éireann Road Éireann or Irish Rail. And Emer Higgins is the Minister of State for Attending Cabinet at the Department of Children, Disability and Equality. Good morning, Emer.
Good morning.
Morning to all of you. I was just looking at some of the workplace participation. In 1990, female workplace participation, I would start with you, Mary, was only 41%. And it has zoomed since then. It has changed radically the workplace, but also the economy by bringing more women into the economy. Do you notice that difference?
I think it's a really welcome development. So good morning to all your listeners, Joe. Really welcome. And I think even since COVID, we've seen an increase in female participation in the workforce. So that's really to be welcomed. Mm. And we're seeing the benefits of it, because the more diversity we have in the workplace and the better gender balance, it's better for business, better for decision making. It's better to hear that different voice around the executive table. So I think there have been very positive developments, but we still have a long way to go. So if I look in Éireann Road Éireann, there's really positive initiatives taking place to encourage more women, and particularly more younger women, into STEM subjects in school that then will transition into engineering opportunities and that in the workplace. Our own statistics are, a few years ago, we had about 10% female participation in the workplace.
Which would be very low.
And we've now grown to 13%. So that's really positive. Mm. It was up 1% last year. But it's still a very low percentage in a workforce of almost 5,300 people.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real body of work being undertaken now by the organisation to encourage more young women because we need them. We need them.
Absolutely. But there is still a perception that working on trains or with trains is a dirty, hard, outdoory business. And it still is involving a lot of physical work, a lot of work with machinery and stuff, and that women just aren't attracted to that.
But I suppose what we need to do is educate the young people on all the opportunities there exist across Irish Rail. So there's one really positive initiative with I Wish, and it's working with young girls in school in their teenage years between 14 and 18 to, I suppose, showcase the huge opportunities there are across STEM. And we take that on further, where we have open week. It's happening this week in our apprentice workshops to show all the opportunities that are there. Because you talk about heavy engineering roles, and there absolutely are in maintenance, but more women are coming into driving roles. They're coming into our engineering roles, into our innovation roles, technology, data analytics. There's huge opportunities there. And I think people probably don't realise the expanse of the opportunities and the work that needs to be done. Because we're building out tomorrow's railway. We want double capacity. We want to triple electrification. We want rail to become the backbone of the sustainable transport system for our country. So I think there's massive opportunities, and it's about encouraging more women in to take those opportunities on.
Minister Emer Higgins, you attend Cabinet and you're at the Department of Children, Disability and Equality. Do you think hybrid working has helped?
Yeah, hybrid working has definitely made the workforce more accessible for many people of different genders. But at the same time, and Mary and I were just talking about this outside, at the same time, I suppose there's always the fear that if you're not visible in the office, if you don't have exposure to senior management, that you might be looked over for career opportunities. So I suppose it's about making sure that hybrid working works for everybody and works in an equal way as well. And that is a challenge.
Right. Are you able to work from home?
Not anymore. So I still work from home, but never during the working day. The nature of my job, I suppose, is that I'm 3 days a week in the Dáil. We have votes that you have to be there for in person. We have legislation you have to be there for in person. And then I'm out and about. I'm a minister with responsibility for disabilities. So I'm out and about meeting people with disabilities, meeting children with disabilities and their families, visiting Section 38, Section 39s and the Children Disability Network teams around the country. So for me, I think that's really important to get out and meet the people who are impacted by the decisions that happen in the Dáil.
Kate English from Deloitte, how often do you get to work from home? I know you probably prefer to be in the office, but do you get to work from home much?
A lot of my role, similar to Emer, is in person, but I do get to work from home sometimes, kind of one, maybe 2 days a week. But I'm one of those strange cases that at the moment I still prefer being in the office. I think 1-2 days at home max is enough for me. My productivity will dip post that and I begin to miss the human interaction. I've always been that case. I said during COVID times, if we left COVID and we were still working from home 5 days a week, I would change career and do something more outdoors. I could not sit at home on my own for 5 days a week.
Okay.
But that's just me. But we do have a balance within Deloitte. There's an agile working system, so there is flexibility there. It varies across different teams because we've so many different functions and roles within Deloitte as well. Oftentimes people think just of accountants, but there's an awful lot of variety in what's taking place. So that flexibility is there.
Mary Considine from Irish Rail, you can't drive a train remotely yet.
No, you can't. And I suppose a lot of our roles are, you know, particularly the front of house roles, you have to be present. You know, it is that the railway doesn't stop. It operates every day of the year, 24/7, really, because bar Christmas Day and Stephen's Day, because even at night when the railway is not operational, our teams are out there in possession, maintaining
the
railway.
In their orange vests.
Yes, and getting the work done. But there are opportunities in certain roles, and I suppose we need to support those where there are opportunities. We've a hybrid working policy for the support and administration roles, but there's a minimum 3 days in the office. And I think the reason there's a minimum three in the office is to exactly the point that you were making, that we need that visibility, you need that kind of team building where you can, where people can benefit, particularly our younger people. They can learn, they can be coached, they can be mentored. They're exposed to what's happening. So I think that's really important.
Okay. All three of you, please stay with us. We'll take a very quick break and back with our special International Women's Day.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
And I'm still speaking to Mary Considine, the Chief Executive of Éireann Éireann or Irish Rail, Emer Higgins, Minister of State, and Kate English from Deloitte. Mary, can I ask you whether this energy spike or energy shock that we are undergoing this week, whether that will affect your business at Irish Rail or the DART services or anything?
Obviously, it's going to increase the cost of fuel for our operations, but we don't see it impacting on our operations, which is the most critical thing. And we're obviously seeing significant growth in demand for rail services. So last year, our passenger journeys exceeded 55 million. So if you take it every week, we're carrying over 1 million passengers. And this year, we anticipate to grow to closer to 60 million passengers. So obviously anything that increases the cost of operation isn't good for the business, but we're very focused on, I suppose, delivering a really good service today and building out capacity to deal with that growing demand for rail.
And I see these gorgeous new DART carriages all over the city, and yet I don't see them in operation. When are they coming into service?
Well, the testing of those new lovely DART carriages is ongoing at the moment in our site in Inchicore, and we're working with our partners Alstom there going through the testing process, modifications, making sure everything is working. And once we get through that phase in the coming months, they will be going into the regulatory approval cycle. So we hope to see those new carriages.
Will it get bogged down there? Will it get bogged down in?
We would be hopeful. You know, everything has been kind of stress tested through this very rigorous testing regime, but we have to go through all the safety approvals, and that's really important with our own regulator and with the European Rail Agency. And assuming all that goes to plan, we should see those new carriages coming into service mid next year. So I think that'll be really positive.
Mid next year.
Right. We have 285 carriages on order at the moment, three orders with them. The first two orders will be coming on stream, as I say, from next year. And right the way through to 2030, you'll see that new capacity coming into place.
Okay.
Really beneficial for our customers.
Because in general, we do seem to have a problem with grand projet, as the French would say. Now, can I bring you in, Eimear, about this? Because in your previous job, you were part of public procurement and e-government. Are we going to solve that issue of public procurement since the creation of this action plan for the delivery of infrastructure?
Yeah, well, I suppose infrastructure is absolutely key. It's key to future-proofing our economy. It's key to future-proofing our communities and our societies as we continue to grow in population. And what our infrastructure task force has been about is how we actually just accelerate that. And part of it is delivering certainty to the market, indicating that no matter what the economic conditions that the government has set aside, and we have, that the government has set aside funding to ensure the delivery of infrastructure over the next decade. So we assembled a task force of experts, both in public and private sector, to help us path the way forward. And they've chartered that way forward through a new action plan. Some of that requires new policies, new legislation. But some of it requires really practical things as well, like the establishment
like civil
of
servants
the unit.
Sometimes not blocking projects.
So you're right. I mean, sometimes decisions are made in silos as opposed to silos being broken down and being made collaboratively. So we now have a new division within the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And that's an infrastructure division. And into it, we have seconded experts in this field. So there's people from Ishka Éireann, people from the ESB, people from On Bord Pleanála, or the Comisión as it's known now, all sitting side by side making collaborative decisions on what the future of infrastructure in Ireland looks like. And most importantly, how we get there quicker. And okay, that's what we're determined to achieve.
And do you think we will see changes this time next year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you'll see changes in terms of our laws as well around, I mean, Minister
Judicial
Jack Chambers
reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these things are issues from a speed perspective. You know, I think it's really important that everybody has the opportunity to have their say in planning decisions, but decisions don't need to take as long as they do. So it's about better resourcing and putting in place better targets for decisions to be made. And those targets aren't just targets. They have to be targets where there's deadlines and there's repercussions if you go over them. So that's exactly what the new commission has as well.
This is very relevant for you, Mary, in Irish Rail. You have great plans. You've announced some of them here. But you get small, select individuals holding up national projects. That was never fair, was it?
I suppose, I think the whole public dialogue around delivering and accelerating infrastructure is positive. So the messaging we're trying to get out to our customers, stakeholders right across the country, local authorities, is rail is enabling infrastructure. And it should almost be viewed in the same way as our grid, our water, our sewage systems, that if we build out the railway, we build new stations, then you're unlocking housing for development. And you're also supporting better distribution of economic and social activity right across the country. So I think, you know, when people understand the benefit of it and we build out the railway first and then you build the housing around it, you're removing a lot of those reasons for objecting. So I think it's, as the minister has said here, it's about us working together and that more holistic view of the country and the infrastructure that's required to future-proof and allow us to thrive. And I think we have once-in-a-generation opportunity now to really get this right, and it's about everyone putting their shoulder to the wheel, because we are paying the price for underinvestment in our critical infrastructure over, you know, the decades. And I think we now need to get really serious about addressing it.
Can I bring you in on that, Kate? Are we going to get this done? I mean, you're talking to your clients all the time and they're probably saying, I can't get this built. I can't get that sorted. I can't get this approval. It drives them mad.
I think there has been quite a movement or a shift in the national dialogue, as you said, around this conversation of infrastructure. The deficits that are there with infrastructure as a whole, and particularly housing then as well, kind of joined to that, is a key concern for businesses, both domestic and international firms who operate within Ireland. I do think there's a bit of momentum behind this now. It was very clear and good to see actions detailed with timings behind them from the task force report released towards the end of last year. And remember, a lot of those actions, their timelines were actually towards the first half of this year as well. So that places a lot of pressure for change. But it is a good thing. Our population demands it, our economy demands it, and if we do not succeed with it, we will not remain competitive in the coming years.
Thank you so much, Kate. Enjoy International Women's Day on Sunday. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much, Mary Considine from Irish Rail, and Minister Eimear Higgins, who is at the Department of Disability and Children.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk
with Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.